This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Denise Salcedo, and it is Friday, October 20th, and we are here to talk about WWE SmackDown. It's the SmackDown following the season premiere, which was super loaded, and we were here talking about that last week. But today, not a bad show. As a matter of fact, we got some good stuff coming out of SmackDown today. And then, of course, heading into Crown Jewel, we got some matches that were made, and also maybe some other possible matches that we may be seeing added to the Crown Jewel card. So far it's looking pretty decent. I enjoyed this episode of SmackDown. I felt like in the beginning I was kind of thinking like, oh, I don't know how they're really going to follow up that season premiere, especially with it was clear from the very beginning that Roman Reigns wasn't going to be there. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, what's the show going to look like today? And it was honestly not a bad show. So we're going to talk about that in just a second. But first and foremost, I got to give some shout outs. I got to give some love over to Sheldon Jackson, who just gifted 30 YouTube memberships on here. That is absolutely freaking wild. Sheldon, thank you so much for being so generous, not just to me, but to everybody here, all of the viewers, and whoever gets lucky enough for YouTube to pick them and give them a membership. For those of you who do not know what you get with those memberships, you get exclusive content up on my YouTube channel, and you can watch me review each and every single WrestleMania. There's vlogs out, and there's more to come. So Sheldon, seriously, thank you so much for having my back and for supporting me and for along the way helping other people get these memberships as well. We got some very awesome, generous super chats as well, so I'm going to get to those. The first one is from my good friend, Steven. And Steven says, let the games begin. And Bianca making the big save, something does seem a little bit fishy, and I wonder if this is all a play for Bianca to turn heel. And congratulations on winning 20 big ones. I was in Las Vegas yesterday for a wedding, everybody, and I gambled $5, and I actually won $35, but, you know, I kept going just to see if I could get more money, and then I ended up losing $15, and I'm like, okay, that's it. $20 is where I'm stopping. So I ended up taking home $20, so I profited $15. So woo, I called that a victory. Thank you so much to Steven. I don't know. Bianca came back today. We're going to get to that in just a second. We hadn't seen her since about August, and we'll see what they do. Keep in mind that we're heading into Survivor Series, Crown Jewel. Pretty soon, we're going to get into WrestleMania season. So it's going to be exciting to see what they do with Bianca Belair coming at this WrestleMania, considering that she is Miss WrestleMania. Steven, thank you so much for this generous super chat. We got another one from SAS1000, a very generous one as well, saying, it looks like we are getting SmackDown versus Raw at Survivor Series again. If they keep up with this GM rivalry, I feel like it could make it more interesting. Well, we certainly, if you didn't already know that we were in Survivor Series mode, that we were getting there, tonight was definitely an indication that you got to start with your brand supremacy, everybody, because we had a little bit of a heated confrontation between Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce that closed off with Adam Pearce looking Nick Aldis dead in the eye and saying, let the games begin. And we all know what that means. Thank you so much to SAS1000. We got Chris Ludeck in the house. And he says, wasn't a huge fan of the LA Knight Paul Heyman segment. The get out of the ring, wait, no, got kind of old. Also, I was also in Vegas and won $200. Yo, how do people be getting more lucky than me? Chris, damn it. How would you do? I want to know what you did to get the $200. It's my dream. My dream, and I'm sure this is everybody's dream. My dream is to one day put in like a $5 or a $1, like $1, right? Like $1 or like $5. Max $20 and come out with like thousands of dollars. You know, that's the dream, man. Every time I go to Las Vegas and I pop in a bill in one of those machines, I go, God, let this be my day. Let thousands and thousands of dollars fall upon me. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person. I'm pretty sure everybody goes to Las Vegas with those dreams. Crystal Deck, thank you so much for the super chat, man. So you cued us in to get us into the beginning of this show, guys. And I'm curious to see what you guys felt because I'm about to be a real heel, so sorry to everybody, but I agree with Chris Ludeck on this one, everyone. I thought this opening segment with Paul Heyman and LA Knight was kind of mid, everyone. And the reason for this is, let me break it down for you. So Paul Heyman comes out, he opens up the show, and he talks to us about how Jimmy was responsible for costing Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes the tag team championship belts over on Raw. And then he reveals, which if you hadn't seen the wrestling news this morning, the LA Times basically broke that we are going to be seeing Roman Reigns versus LA Knight at Crown Jewel. And we pretty much already knew that. We had pretty much figured it out, but the official word was put out today. So Paul Heyman basically gives them a shout out and tells the people just in case they missed it. And I thought it was hilarious. So shout out to the masterminds over at WWE PR or whoever came up with this idea to have the Los Angeles Times be the ones to break LA Knight news. Think about that. The LA Times breaking LA Knight news. I'm sorry, but that's comedy to me, guys. That is comedy to me. So I actually really enjoyed whoever's idea it was to do that. I thought it was pretty funny, and I found the humor in that. So I appreciate that. Anyways, Paul Heyman starts saying that this is going to be the last time that we see LA Knight because Roman Reigns is going to do all of these things to him, right? You know, Paul hyping up his man, Roman Reigns. And then we finally get LA Knight. He comes out, and he tells Paul Heyman to leave. So Paul Heyman starts to leave. And then he calls out Roman Reigns. But Roman Reigns is not there. Roman Reigns does not come out. So as Paul Heyman is exiting, LA Knight tells him, no, get back into the ring. This part was actually funny because Paul Heyman was like, Paul Heyman's really good at these reactions. So anytime he does anything, to be honest, it's very, very funny. And so Paul Heyman's like, you told me to get out. And he's like, no, come back in, shut up, get back in here, I'm not done with you. And he asks him actually what Roman is going to do to him. And this all leads into them announcing that there is going to be a contract signing next week between LA Knight and Roman Reigns. And then LA Knight tells Paul Heyman that he wants him to send a message to Roman Reigns. And that message is that this is LA Knight's game. That's it. If you were expecting anything else, that's it. All right, we got some people here that are on different sides. I'm seeing people here got a little bit of difference here. I'm going to be honest with you, everybody. I thought that this was nothing new. One of the things that I really want to see from LA Knight is I want to start getting like cool promos because that's the whole thing, right? Like people like LA Knight because he's cool. That's supposed to be the thing. But I personally feel that we're not getting enough like cool one-liners, some cool jabs. I wanted to feel like LA Knight wiped the floor with Paul Heyman. And we didn't get that. It's the same thing over and over again. It's the same catchphrases, which is fine because that's what catchphrases are. You're supposed to hear those over and over again. That's fine. That's what a catchphrase is. But with the actual body of the promo, I want more to make me go, holy shit, this guy is funny. Or for me to go, holy shit, this was interesting. I didn't expect him to say that. Damn, did he really go there? I don't know. Any sort of reaction other than just me staring at the screen waiting for like the punchline. It felt like we were getting the story, but there was never any punchline. So for me, this was probably not the hottest segment, but I'm curious, what did you, the chat, think? And if you watched this video on a replay, let me know how you guys felt about this opening segment. But for me, I needed a little bit more. This was the hot dog without any of the toppings for me. All right, let's see what we got here and see what people... what the hell is going on in my chat? Alvin White Jr., you're the first comment I saw. I turned to see what people's opinions are, and I do kind of a skim to see, okay, who's talking about this feud right now. And Alvin White Jr. says, it's like missionary every single night. That Roman clip popped into my mind. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Thank you so much for being, for making me laugh. You made me break kayfabe. You made me break kayfabe. I can't even get back to what I was talking about. All right, let's get to it. We got Tay here who says, I think LA Knight being in the main event spot is kind of overwhelming for him. Did you notice he's being stuttering with his promos as of late? That's actually been a thing that I had been noticing for a long time. This isn't as of late. This has been happening with LA Knight for a while. But, and then and you got to think about this too, because, well, it's hard to say. Because think about it. It's not, LA Knight's not a new guy. He's been in the business for a very long time. And what do they say? All of the small jobs are the things that prepare you for the big moments, for the big opportunities. So I don't know if like this, the stuttering or the stumbling isn't that bad, to be honest. But I think because we're so used to guys like Roman Reigns and all of these other wrestlers that go up there and they cut their promos and they are freaking picture perfect, super crisp. And so you're not used to seeing somebody in that spot, maybe not do things the right way or the exact same way. And so maybe that's why it becomes a little bit more noticeable. But regardless, I just think for me, it's not even that. For me, it's mostly just a copy of it. I think that, you know, whatever it is that they're telling him to say, they need to come up with some cool stuff, some funnier stuff, some more creative stuff. I feel like that is what's going to help us be like, damn, you know what, LA Knight, that guy, he be saying all of these things. I think that's what I really want to get out of this. Like, I didn't feel, basically, LA Knight was supposed to be making a threat to Roman Reigns through Paul Heyman. Okay, that's what he was supposed to be doing here. All he said is that it's his game. Roman Reigns has been in some of the biggest feuds with some of the craziest things said or some of the most serious promos that we've gotten. We've gotten some really good stuff with Roman Reigns and other people. So I feel like just saying, oh, it's my game, like that isn't really saying anything. You need to come up, they need to come up with some more interesting stuff for LA Knight to say when he's on the mic, because the catchphrases are over. He's got the tone. We talk about that all the time. He's got the, you know, the voice. He's got the voice to do this stuff. But now it's just a matter of making him actually say cool things other than just the catchphrases. So that's where I was left. I was left with wanting more. Let's see what else we got here and see what people are saying. Kilo Johnny says the LA Knight segment was almost too spot on of old Steve Austin comedy promo, and it really made the comparison stick out. We got Ender Buckley who says people who have a history to trade on with Heyman feuding by proxy is very different than someone who really doesn't. All right. And we got a couple of super chats here. So thank you so much to everybody out here who's supporting. Seriously, I appreciate you guys a whole lot. And we got another gifted membership from Sheldon who just gifted 20 memberships. Sheldon, you're crazy, man. You're wild. Thank you so much, man. Chris Ludeck sends in a super chat saying, super chap. Look at me. I'm LA Knight right here. Super chap. I've said that a million times, by the way. Chris Ludeck says, playing craps, I turned $80 into $1,200 in 45 minutes. That's my best run ever. Dude, you turned $80 into $1,200 in 45 minutes. That's good stuff, man. Gabriel Salazar says, Denise should have broken the LA Knight news. I was going to make a stupid joke, but I'm too embarrassed to make it. So I'm not going to make my stupid joke. But you know what? I'm going to make my stupid joke. All right. I got to get it out now that I said it. All right. So think about it like this. If the LA Times broke the LA Knight news, does that make it local news? God, that joke was even stupider out loud. Delayed Grad says, Denise, you're dropping facts. I love LA Knight, but they haven't let him say much for a couple of months now. Yeah, it feels like they're kind of playing it really safe with him. And that's cool and all, but I think people want the kicker. You know, people want him to come out here and make you go, holy shit, LA Knight has just arrived. That's the feeling that you want to get. Johnny says, don't worry, New York Knight will debut soon. New York number one. Imagine all of a sudden we get the 50, we get all the states, we get New York Knight, we get Texas Knight. Just make the rounds, man. Just get all the freaking Knights. Johnny, thank you so much for the super chat. Mike Parker sends in a very generous one saying, glad the guy has finally gotten a break, but we are seeing the cracks in LA Knight doing the exact same routine he was doing as Eli Drake. Catchphrases are great, but they are the bun on the hamburger, if that makes sense. That completely makes sense, man. I get food references more than anything, man. And it's true. I feel like all of the makings, all of the ingredients are there for LA Knight. They're all there. It's just a matter of them. Because here's the thing, like, people kind of talk a little bit about how LA Knight in-ring wise kind of leaves a little bit to be desired, right? You could work around that, sure. We've seen it happen for other people. You can definitely work around it. But the thing that has gotten LA Knight popular is the catchphrases. It's the way that he sounds. Okay, cool. So you know that on the promo side of things, that's where you have to kind of elevate it. You have to elevate that. And so for me, again, that's what I would like to see of more. More jabs, more kickers, more things to make you go, damn, I can't believe he just said that. That was freaking funny, or that was freaking cool. Whatever it is, the feeling that you want to get people to evoke. The point is you want to get people to react. So that's where we're at. At least that's my personal opinion on all of this. David Kaplan says, hello, Denise. Do you think LA Knight will be pinned at Crown Jewel, or will they protect him? Also, Logan Paul is really easy to hate. Thoughts? I think that Roman Reigns should pin LA Knight clean. Completely feel that Roman Reigns should pin LA Knight clean. I don't think there's any reason to not have Roman Reigns pin LA Knight cleanly. And Logan Paul is very easy to hate. That's why when he was kind of not wanting to be a heel, when he first started doing all of the stuff in WWE, it didn't really feel natural. I think that it started to feel a lot more natural when Logan Paul started being a heel, because people love to hate the guy. Like, people just don't like him. And because more so of the stuff that he has done outside of WWE. And for that reason, people don't like him. They don't like him. I like Logan Paul, what he's done in WWE. I'm a fan of his work in the WWE. But regardless, it's a lot easier for him to be a heel because that just fits him a little bit more naturally. Thank you so much to David Kaplan for sending in that super chat. Stephen Marchuli says, Knight feels more like a fit to go over Rollins at WrestleMania. Reigns versus Cody 2 feels like the end game. Yeah, 1,000%, guys. LA Knight, to me, is not the end game for Roman Reigns. It's just not. And so I think that's part of the reason, and I've said this before, that's part of the reason why I think they're doing this match at Crown Jewel. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Stephen Marchuli, thank you so much for that super chat, man. I appreciate you. And let's go ahead and get into, since we were talking about Logan Paul, let's get right into that then. So we had actually really enjoyed this. I'm not going to lie. I was a fan of everything that we got here. So, well, not everything. I would just say like 70%. A little correction, like 70% of what we got here. So Logan Paul comes out and he's talking about his fight and he's reminding us about his first match in the WWE. He talks about how he defeated Rey Mysterio. And I know a lot of people were probably like, I don't remember Logan Paul defeating Rey Mysterio in a one-on-one match at the beginning of his career. That's because it was a tag team match. And so they made sure to make that correction on commentary, or rather not a correction, but the point was that Logan Paul was kind of like over-dramatizing the fact that he's making it seem like he defeated Rey Mysterio like one-on-one. So I think that was just part of like the heel persona of Logan Paul. So the whole first portion of this, I kind of felt was a little weak. There was one part that Logan Paul said that I did think was funny, was when he was talking about the last time that he beat Rey Mysterio. And he says that the last time he beat Rey Mysterio, that he still had a son in Dominic Mysterio. And everybody's like, ooh. Then he says, Roman Reigns actually showed up to wrestle. Damn, he's out here hitting us with facts. And then he says, And LA Knight didn't even have a job. So that's what I mean, guys. That's what I mean by having you something in your promo that makes you go, oh shit, he went there. When he said that Roman Reigns actually showed up to wrestle, I'm like, damn, he freaking said that on SmackDown on Roman Reigns' show? That got a reaction out of me. So I did like this little mini portion of the Logan Paul thing. But everything else, I thought they could have just maybe sped up a little bit, because the guy starts bragging about how great and how much money he has and how great his Prime is doing. So then Rey Mysterio finally comes out and tells Logan Paul that he actually reminds him of his son Dominic Mysterio. He says that they both have natural ability. Sorry, that nearly killed me. All right, I didn't find that. At first I thought, oh yeah, that could be I don't know about natural ability for Dominic Mysterio. I like Dominic Mysterio. I really, really do. But I don't know about the amazing natural ability. You gotta put a little extra work into it. For I don't know if natural is the right word to use here. Natural ability. Oh shit, that's killing me. All right. I didn't even think about that when he said it, because he said it and I was just like typing it down. But as I'm saying it out loud, I thought, wait, Rey Mysterio really said that. Okay. Jesus, literally killed me. All right. But Logan Paul he comes across like he picked up pro wrestling like very, very fast. Anyway, so he says that they have a lot of similarities, that they have amazing natural ability, gripping with passion, incredible career ahead of them. But he says, you got just a big mouth, just like Dominic. And he says, en los dos son iguales de tontos. So for those of you who do not know what that means, it basically means that they're both dumb. So then Rey tells him that he's not going to hesitate to kick his ass. And here's the thing that I really liked about this. Logan Paul being a douche and saying things in Spanish to Rey Mysterio. Oh, I loved that. I thought it was some good heel heat to be kind of disrespectful in the way that he was saying speaking Spanish, sort of like in a mocking, disrespecting way to Rey Mysterio. And of course, Rey knew what was going on, but he tells them at the end of this, once the match is made for Crown Jewel, because we are going to be seeing Logan Paul versus Rey Mysterio at Crown Jewel for the United States Championship, Logan Paul looks Rey Mysterio dead in the eye and he says, buena suerte, amigo. He didn't say it like that, but that's what he was going to say. And so they shake hands after some hesitation on Rey Mysterio's part, but he decides to shake his hand. And we're going to get this match. I loved the fact that we were just talking about Logan Paul being a natural heel, him going out there and speaking this broken Spanish directly to Rey Mysterio's face, who is a freaking icon. I thought was really good heel heat, and it made you want to hate Logan Paul, and then it also made me want to laugh really hard, because I always love hearing people talk Spanish when they're not fluent in Spanish, because they sound funny, so it's great. So I had a phenomenal time with this, and I am definitely, I don't know where you guys are at on this right now, but I'm definitely expecting to see Logan Paul defeat Rey Mysterio for the U.S. Championship. I have a feeling that we're going to go from Logan Paul defeating Rey Mysterio for the United States Championship and maybe getting a program between Logan Paul and LA Knight. That's kind of my estimation right now, or my guess on where things might be heading down the road. There's not too much to support that whole theory, but that's kind of where I'm leaning towards in terms of what I'm expecting to happen here. And BTW, another shout out goes over to Sheldon Jackson, who just gifted another 10 memberships. Dude. Oh, I'm pointing at the wrong place. Always do that. Sheldon, thank you so much, man. Seriously. All right. So the Logan Paul stuff. Let's see what people are saying here. Dr. Thanos says Logan is a great heel because it's easy to hate. It's easy to hate Logan Paul. And we got Dominic Carranza here who says, I mean, Logan Paul is already a heat magnet. It's just from everything he has done outside the ring. Yeah, exactly. And like, it's funny because you don't even have to. I remember like when I first heard of the Paul brothers. I did not know anything about them. I just heard that they were YouTubers and they were super problematic. So the first time I ever heard of them, like I to this day have never seen one of their YouTube videos, like not one. But the first time I heard about them, the first thing I heard was problematic, problematic, problematic. And that was it. Like that was my first thing that I ever heard about them. And I feel like then afterwards, you kind of continue to hear stuff like that. And so that probably happened to not just me, but a lot of people. And so that's why people feel the way that they feel, because there's a lot. I don't know the whole history of Logan Paul and Jake Paul and things that they have or have not done. I have no idea. I've only heard certain things. It's very easy to dislike Logan Paul. So there you go. It works. Definitely works. And we got Larice Johnson here who's predicting that Logan Paul is also going to become the new U.S. champion. Kaden Crawford says Logan as U.S. champion would love that at Crown Jewel. And Jeffrey Reimer says natural ability. Laughing, crying face. Oh, man, it's good stuff here. Perfector says, I love when Logan Paul said that he needs real competition, so he comes to WWE. Yeah, good stuff, man. You got to put over, you know, you clearly want to put over WWE if you're there and you're taking the time to go out and wrestle, because if he does win the United States Championship, you want it to mean something, right? You don't want to go someplace where you think it's easy and win gold, and then all of a sudden it's not a big deal because you went out there and you said it was easy. You got to go out there and hype people up. It's like when you're talking about promo 101, right? Anytime you got anybody, whether even your baby faces, how many times don't you hear them putting over their opponent? You have to, because that's just part of it. Because if not, if you're completely burying your opponent, no one's going to give a damn if you beat this person, because nobody cares if you beat somebody who's nothing. You got to beat somebody who's something for it to mean something. All right, David Kaplan says, do you think that this is the final run for Ray? Wasn't he supposed to be retiring a while now? Who retires first, Ray or John Cena? Thanks. Well, John Cena is off doing mostly Hollywood, so I'm feeling like we're more so, he comes back and he gets his one match a year, right? Like, that's what he's been doing. But in terms of, like, fully no more matches, I actually think it's going to be, I actually think it might be John Cena first. I don't know why, but I feel like Rey Mysterio, man, he's just, you know, how many surgeries hasn't he had? How many knee surgeries hasn't he had? And he just keeps coming back. Every time you think he's done, he comes back. So it is one of those things where, I don't know, it's really hard to say because they're both totally different competitors. Like Rey Mysterio is out there doing this pretty much full time. And even if he's not wrestling every single week, right, he's still out there and going. Well, right now he is because he's the champion, but John Cena, once he goes back to Hollywood, is not going to be doing the exact same thing. Thank you so much to Metalhead for Life, who is in the chat here. So shout out to Metalhead for Life, who's also now a DWO member, has been for 2 months. All right. So I want to get into, let's get into the John Cena stuff since we just touched on him right now. So John Cena, this was interesting. This was a tease. This is what this was, a tease. We didn't go all the way here. It was just a tease. John Cena comes out and he says, you know, it's been a rough day. He got hit with a hard truth. And I'm thinking, where's he going with this? What did I miss? Did something happen? Did some horrible thing happen that I don't know about? Because he's very, very sad. He's not the normal John Cena, the super hype John Cena that you see, right? And he starts saying that he needs to be honest with himself and with everybody. And he mentions Roman Reigns' streak. He then says that he found out that he has a streak of his own. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, what streak? I don't know what streak he's talking about. Well, he basically says that in the last 2,002 days, he has not won a televised singles match. And this has not happened since 2018. And I thought, damn. 2,002 days. I didn't even realize that that's how long it had been. And when you start to think about that, that really is a massive streak, actually. Very, very massive streak. So I'm thinking, oh, we're going to get John Cena wrestling here tonight. This is what we're getting. We're going to get a singles match with John Cena, and he's going to win, and he's going to break this streak. That's what I was kind of expecting. So he's, you know, very sad. He's very serious, but then he turns it around and he says, I believe in myself and I believe in the beauty of this madness. And he believes that he can still go. So then he says, now it's time to turn the math around. okay, so when you said that, I'm thinking he's going to wrestle. He's going to wrestle. He's going to win, and the streak's going to be over. He says, it's going to be a bad night for the next idiot who walks through that curtain because they're going to get smoked. Solo Sikoa comes out, and I'm going, what? We're going to get Solo Sikoa versus John Cena right here, right now? Oh, this is exciting. They start fighting, and I'm going, where's the referee? Get your ass out there. Start this match. But no, they're out there fighting, and instead, Jimmy comes out, and he helps out Solo Sikoa. And so all of a sudden, it becomes a two-on-one scenario. And then a masked man, who everybody knew, no matter how much clothes he was wearing, no matter how hidden he was, we all knew it was Jay Uso. So Jey Uso comes out, he attacks Jimmy, throws him over the barricade, basically gets rid of him. John Cena finishes his business in the ring with Solo Sikoa, and he's cheering. So do we think we're getting Solo Sikoa versus John Cena at Crown Jewel? I don't know, but that kind of feels like maybe where we're headed. I feel like if we're not headed that direction, I would be kind of surprised, because we've already been seeing John Cena and Solo Sikoa be teased a whole lot. And this was like the official biggest tease of them all. So you got to give us that match now. Like, I feel like there's no way this match doesn't happen and you just don't want to have it randomly. I feel like Crown Jewel might be the place to do it, or Survivor Series, whatever they decide to do. Most likely Crown Jewel. Since probably Solo Sikoa and John Cena will be involved in something else. Who knows? But later on backstage, we also find out that Jey Uso has been fined $10,000 by Nick Aldis. Nick Aldis is mad that he came over to this brand uninvited, attacked Jimmy. And so he wasn't having it. And Adam Pearce is kind of upset because he's like, oh, like that really doesn't make sense for you to find him. So then he says, you know what? I'm going to escort you and you out. So he escorts both Adam Pearce and Jey Uso out of the building. And before Adam Pearce leaves, he looks into his eyes and he says, let the games begin. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's Survivor Series season now. Everybody strap on their red and blue t-shirts because we are getting the battle for brand supremacy, which we only care about this time of year. So that is where we are at with all of this. And let's see what people are saying. Zeno Hour says, keep the jobber Cena streak alive. 2002 days. They got to end it, guys. That's embarrassing. You don't want John Cena with that. You don't want John Cena with that kind of streak. All right, we got some super chats here. This one's from Sheldon Jackson, who says, my only concern about Logan winning the U.S. title would be, does he follow the Brock Lesnar track and show up sporadically, especially with a mid-card title, plus with Roman doing the same schedule now? Yeah, I know that's the one thing that is keeping you wondering whether or not that's the only thing putting a damper in my plan about Logan Paul defeating Rey Mysterio and becoming the U.S. champion, because you definitely do not want a U.S. champion that you're only seeing every now and then. So yeah, I do agree with you, but given what they have been doing, I feel like they are setting us up to actually have Logan Paul a little bit more consistently, at least for this time period, because he's out here mentioning Rey Mysterio after his fight. In multiple interviews, he has said that he is coming for championship gold. Now, I was about to say, when you're champion, that means that you're there. But I guess that doesn't necessarily really mean that, based on what we've seen with both Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. It doesn't technically mean that if you're champion that you're actually going to be on the program each and every single week. But whatever. I think if you're the U.S. champion, I would hope you show up to the program each and every single week. So I'm kind of thinking that they have a plan here, and I'm kind of thinking that maybe he's going to show up a little bit more, if at least it's just for this. Now, if he loses that Crown Jewel, well, then completely forget everything I just said right now. But I do think if he wins, that they have something set for him to actually show up a little bit more. Now, I know he has like a million projects and a million things he does outside of WWE, but I feel like I think that they can probably work something out. Who knows? Metalhead for Life sends in a super sticker. Thank you so much, Metalhead for Life. We got Steven Marchulli, who says, Logan Paul versus Bad Bunny at WrestleMania someday, please. Dude, I would love that. I really, really would. But here's the thing, like, both Logan Paul and Bad Bunny have had exceptional performances whenever they have had any sort of wrestling match, right? But every time they're in there with a more seasoned, established wrestler. So I can't imagine Logan Paul and Bad Bunny being out there, just them two. You know, I don't know. I feel like you might want to have somebody else who's just a little bit more seasoned, a little bit more experienced, and is doing this on a continuous schedule, right? Like somebody who's not just out here sporadically. So as much as I would love to see Logan Paul versus Bad Bunny, I don't know what that would look like. But damn, talk about a spectacle, though. That would be a spectacle. And I do think that if you were to promote a match like that, oh, that would definitely bring in people that are not pro wrestling fans. Like, you'd be getting the Bad Bunny fans, you'd be getting the Logan Paul fans. Like, that would be I think that would be money making for sure, because you would get people that probably wouldn't normally tune in to watch a wrestling show. Thank you so much to Stephen Marchulli for that super chat. All right, let's see what we got here. All right, we got a lot of different predictions going on here right now. Also, shout out to the peeps from Facebook. Y'all are freaking awesome. Love to see you guys on here as well. You guys are so kind. I've said this before, I'll say it again, but Facebook is currently my fastest growing social media platform. Like literally last week, I was celebrating crossing the 5,000 follower mark. This time, this morning, I was at 6,700. So I'm trying to get to 10K. I'm trying to get Facebook to invite me to get paid for them videos. So hopefully we'll get there. Will Chisholm sends in a super chat saying, LA Knight got heat with me now. All my daughters do is say, yeah. She even got in trouble at school for doing it, but it's better than when I was her age saying, suck it at school. Talk about a difference, man. Kids back in the day used to be getting in trouble for doing suck it in the crotch, the freaking crotch top. And nowadays, they're getting in trouble for, yeah. I feel like everybody is doing this, though. Like, I do this all the time in my house. I either say the, yeah, or I go, let me talk to you. It's very, very fun to do. But dang, Will, you know what? It could be worse. Like you said, it could be worse. So I hope you didn't go too hard on your daughter. I hope you didn't ground her for much. Will Chisholm, thank you so much for the super chat. All right. So, all right. We just covered the John Cena portion of this. I want to get into the main event, because this was kind of huge news and I want to make sure we cover the big topics at the top of the show. So, all right. Io Sky defends her championship against Charlotte Flair. Now, this one, I kind of was heading into this the whole time thinking Charlotte was going to win. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I know a lot of people were like, nah, it's not going to happen on a random ass SmackDown. But then I thought, I don't know. WWE's been kind of surprising us a little bit lately. I just felt like something had to happen here. I didn't think we were just going to get no ordinary match. I was expecting something, right? And I feel like we definitely got two things that I was very, very fond of here. So first of all, this ended up being the main event of the night. And I think this match started around like 6:35 Pacific Standard Time. So they gave it a good amount of time, especially for the women, for them to get a good amount of time like that. In a main event spot, it's not always something that you see happen. So I was very, very happy to see Io and Charlotte get this opportunity, right? But the point is, this match was freaking awesome, man. I loved it. This was my favorite Io Sky match since she won the title. I have literally been sitting here talking about how I was a little bit bored already with her championship, and I wanted to hopefully have them change my mind, right, by just having her go out there and have good matches, because Io Sky gets over when she's actually wrestling. When you have your champion wrestle and she's doing what she's incredibly talented at doing, she's going to get over. And so having her in this match with Charlotte Flair, oh, there was a lot that I loved in this match. So there were some good moments. First of all, I need to mention somewhere in this match, Charlotte did a German suplex on Io. Now, if you were watching this match and you missed it, and those of you who caught this, you're like, holy shit, damn, Io. The way she sold that suplex was crazy. At one point, you literally see her head balancing her whole body on the mat. Like, woman has her head and her body upwards when she goes, like, the way that she's, I can't even describe it. The way that she basically took this German suplex from Charlotte Flair was something that I thought was definitely noteworthy for sure. There was a moment where we see Charlotte go to the second rope and she's got Io on her back and she ends up doing a fall away slam. I thought that was a magnificent spot as well. She gets her dead center in the ring, locks her in with the Boston Crab. Io ends up getting out of it. At one point, Charlotte gets in there and she kicks it into high gear when she gets her with this really, really, really sharp forearm to Io Sky. I thought that was another moment that I really enjoyed, but let's get to this finish because I was a big fan of what they did here, okay? So, Io goes for her moonsault, her awesome moonsault, but we end up seeing Charlotte Flair get her knees up, and so she ends up hitting Io Sky with her knees as Io went for her moonsault, right? And then immediately Charlotte leaps up and she spears Io Sky. Now I'm thinking, oh shit, this is over. Charlotte's about to win. Keep in mind that I thought Charlotte was going to win the entire night. So I'm thinking, this is the moment. She's going to win. And I forgot Bailey was out there, or I don't know if she ran out there, whatever. Bailey goes in and she grabs the leg of Io and she puts it on the rope once again, helping her friend. Now, keep in mind, she helped her at the pay-per-view too, and then she helped her again here tonight on SmackDown. And it's odd because for a long time, you were thinking that Bailey was going to betray Io. And so now what I'm thinking is that Bailey's doing all of these good things for Io. She's really helping her out. She's really gaining her trust. And we're going to see her help and help Io until the day that she decides she doesn't want to help Io anymore. And I think that's going to be a big moment within itself because I don't think that they started this possible breakup with Damage Control just to stop it out of nowhere. So I don't know. I'm still expecting to see Bailey at some point turn on Io, but I think right now she's definitely gaining her trust because even when she helped her out at the pay-per-view, Io was really, really surprised by that. She was very surprised by that. And I think so were we. Anyways, so Charlotte gets pissed off, as she rightfully should be. She goes after Bailey. They start fighting on the outside. She tosses her into the commentary table, and there's a lot going on inside the ring. Dakota gives Io the championship belt. Now, some of you might have missed this because the camera angle in which this happened was kind of a bird's eye view camera angle. So if you were looking at Charlotte and Bailey, you might have missed Dakota sliding it to Io. So then Charlotte gets back into the ring and she spears Io Shirai. But keep in mind that during this, Dakota is distracting the referee. So the referee does not see that Io has the championship belt placed at her midsection. And so when Charlotte goes in for the spear, she goes right into that championship belt. And so that is how we end up seeing Io retain her championship. And I was a big fan of this, man, because I thought the match was really great, but also I thought the finish was creative. I liked the way that they had Bailey helping out Io once again. They're heels. This is great stuff. I love seeing Charlotte go after Bailey. We know their whole history. So that was kind of fun to see. And seeing Dakota Kai also play her part in all of this, and then seeing the way that Charlotte pretty much had his match won on numerous occasions, but something happened to deter that, I thought that was kind of cool to see for Charlotte as well. So I was a fan of everything that they did here. And then post-match, we see them continue the attack on Charlotte, so she's pretty much out there all alone. But Bianca Belair comes out. We haven't seen Bianca since about August. So Bianca comes out, and she ends up helping out Charlotte. And what we end up seeing at the end of the night is Charlotte and Bianca basically being on the same side. And the last time we saw them, we saw Bianca. She was actually teaming with Charlotte to take on Io and Bailey in a tag team match. So that's where we're at And somebody mentioned earlier that they kind of feel like it may be a little bit sus for Bianca Belair. I don't know, because they had been teasing for a while that she was going to turn heel, but then it was basically put out there that she doesn't really want to be a heel because she does a lot of like community work. So I think she prefers to be on the babyface side of things. I don't know if maybe we'll see her align with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. That could be something of an option there, but they definitely have to come up with something different for Bianca, because Bianca's incredible in the ring. We already know that, but I do think that for a bit, her character was kind of getting just a little bit, it was the same. It was just streamlined. And I think you needed to kind of ruffle things, right? It's the same thing with the Street Profits. Great, awesome tag team, but we were getting the same thing over and over, right? So you kind of want to switch things up a little bit. So I do think that would be a very cool and unique addition to the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley adding Bianca, but I don't know if that's where they're headed as of right now. We'll see. Warhammer, what's up? He sends in a super chat saying, I already chose my side, Team SmackDown. How do you pick sides? Well, I guess you can pick sides depending on which show you prefer. Do you prefer SmackDown? Do you prefer Raw? Or maybe you can pick based on your favorite color. I don't know how you decide to pick. I think for me, I don't really care about brand supremacy, but if I had to pick a team, if I had to pick either Raw or SmackDown, I would go with SmackDown, because I've been enjoying SmackDown a little bit more lately. So for that reason, I would go with SmackDown. But thank you so much to Warhammer for the super chat here. All right. We got a lot of people saying, by the way, that they need heel Bianca. We got Dr. Thanos also predicting Io Sky versus Bianca at Crown Jewel, maybe. Well, you got to do something with Charlotte and Bayley now, because now they've got beef. You got to give Io and Charlotte another match, I think, because, well, first of all, this one was great, but also Charlotte kind of got screwed. And then you got the whole element of Bianca in here. So Bianca, Io, Bianca, Bayley, which we've seen Bianca Bayley a whole lot. I wouldn't mind it if they did it again, because I really love their work together, but it's kind of been there, seen and done that. So you might want to just switch it up just a tad bit there. All right, so that's what we got with the women and the closing of the show. We got a couple more things to talk about, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up the show. But before I do, guys, just a friendly reminder that this Sunday, I will be here for a bonus podcast. I won't be here tomorrow, guys, because I have a job that I do. Most of you guys know that I also work with an MMA promotion called Up Next Fighting, and they pay very nicely. So I ain't gonna say no. I'm gonna show up to work. And so I'm working with them tomorrow. So for that reason, I won't be here on Saturday, but I will be here on Sunday. And Sunday, I will be joined by my good friend, Righteous Reg. And we're going to be here to talk about both AEW Collision as well as Impact Wrestling Bound for Glory. So if you're looking for an additional Sunday podcast, that's the place to be for this week. All right. And also, before I move on, I want to go ahead and give a special shout out over to Sid the Kid 87, because Sid the Kid 87 went on my Apple podcast and left a review and said, best podcast, one of the best wrestling podcasters in the business. Denise clearly knows her stuff. I am now at 62 ratings on Apple Podcasts. You guys know that my goal is to get to 100 ratings. Please, guys, it really helps me rank a lot higher, getting more reviews, getting more people following the actual podcast, whether you follow on Apple or Spotify. It really helps me climb up those ranks so that more people can discover the show. So if you guys can, please head on over there. And then also, you'll see on the screen that I uploaded a brand new interview with none other than the Mad Dragon, Ilya Dragunov. Now, you guys know I'm a big fan of Ilya. I don't need to tell you guys that. I got like about a 10-minute interview with him today. It was very quick, very brief, but we did talk about him becoming NXT Championship, the growth and the popularity of NXT, his incredible matches that he's done with Carmelo Hayes. So if you want to check out that interview, please go and give it some love, guys. I want to make sure that that interview does good numbers as well, so that I can continue getting some more interviews with more talent here on the channel. So head on over there, give it a like or something, whatever you guys want. Furthausen says, looking forward to Bayley versus Ospreay. Dude, that match, and he's talking about Impact Wrestling, Speedball, Mike Bayley, and Will Ospreay. That match when I saw that was announced, I don't even know what to expect, guys. I think it's going to be freaking crazy because we know Ospreay's just incredible, but so is Speedball Mike Bailey. I mean, they don't call him Speedball for nothing. This guy, when he goes in there, he's just like, don't even blink, bro. That's going to be a very, very good match. I'm looking forward to that a whole lot. And I'm curious to see what unique things they're going to do in the ring, because when you're in with a competitor like that, you can come up with new things to do. So I think that's going to be very, very fun. Housen, thank you so much for the super chat. All right, guys, let's talk very quickly about the remaining items on SmackDown. We had Santos Escobar have his match against Montez Ford. And basically, prior to this match, we had Bobby Lashley hyping up Montez and trying to get him to start winning matches, trying to get a more aggressive side of Montez Ford out. And we did see a little bit of that throughout this entire match. We kind of saw a little bit of an angrier Montez Ford in the ring. So that was kind of cool to see. There were some good moments during this. There was a spot that I enjoyed where Montez was about to go to the top rope, but instead Santos Escobar stops him by kicking him in the head with an enziguri. And then afterwards climbs to the top ropes, hits him with a hurricanrana. Very, very cool spot that I liked there. And I wasn't a fan of the finish, but it was what it was. We see Santos get distracted with the outside with Angelo Dawkins and Wild and Cruz. They start doing their thing on the outside and distract Santos Escobar. He gets rolled up by Montez Ford. Montez wins. And then we see Santos get jumped. So Carlito comes down. He runs in with the chair, makes the save for him. And that's pretty much how we close out this segment. This was fine. I don't know if I'm necessarily over the moon with it, but it was what it was. It was okay. I thought the match had some good moments, but I thought the finish was a little bit weak. Pretty Deadly is backstage doing a vignette. They're getting a pedicure. They're chilling and chatting about Taylor Swift and the Eras Tour. And they're talking about Travis and Taylor. And before they can continue their conversations, they are attacked by the Brawling Brutes. And it closes out with Ridge Holland telling Butch that they should go grab a pint. Two totally different teams. They do totally different things when they're hanging out, man. But I want to be friends with Pretty Deadly, guys. If I could be friends with anybody, it'd probably be Pretty Deadly. But anyways, Pretty Deadly, Brawling Brutes, good stuff. Looking forward to continuing seeing Pretty Deadly now that they're back. Now that they're completely back. Looking forward to seeing them have some good matches. All right, speaking of tag teams, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. So, we have been talking about them for a second because they've been doing a couple of teasers for them, but they hadn't really said anything until tonight. It looks like they're being called the Unholy Union. Before, they didn't have a team name. They were just Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. I'm pretty sure of that. Since NXT, they were just Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. So now they're going by the Unholy Union. They just put it on the screen. The Unholy Union is coming. And for those of you who aren't familiar with their act, they tend to do like these like witchy, I don't know what you call it, like witchy stuff. I don't know. They're witches. They're in the forest. I love them. I think they're a great tag team. I think they're really freaking cool. And I just want to see them appear on the show. And they better have them out here before this month ends. Because how do you not have your witchy act? How do you not have them on the show during the month of October? Like, I feel like you definitely need them out there. So anyways, there's not much else to add about that until they actually come out. We also saw Cameron Grimes and Dragon Lee team up to take on Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. I thought they highlighted Dragon Lee very nicely in this match. But for the finish, we do see Austin Theory hit the A-Town Down on Cameron Grimes. Gets the win for his team. Nothing much else that I want to add there about that. The Kevin Owens interview, I loved this. And shout out to Kathy Kelly because I thought she did a phenomenal job, and I really hope that they do more interviews like this with Kathy Kelly hosting these, because I think she did phenomenal and it felt very relaxed. It was easy to listen to, and it's simple. She's asking him about being traded to SmackDown, being separated from Sami Zayn. He reminisces on the good memories. He talks about who he might want to have matches with. He's mentioned that he's never had a singles match with Rey Mysterio or Sheamus. I didn't even realize that. hell yeah, let's get those matches. And then he mentions that, well, you know what, at least being on SmackDown, it might be a new slate for me. So this was so easy, so simple. I really, really enjoyed this. I also liked that they did it sitting down. It was pre-taped. I loved it. This was good stuff, man. They need to do more of this for sure. Alrighty, guys, that is it for SmackDown. Next week, SmackDown will be airing on FS1. And the big thing that they are promoting for next week is the contract signing between Roman Reigns and LA Knight. So that's a big thing to look forward to for next week. Alrighty, everybody, that is it for today. As always, thank you guys so much for supporting. Please do not forget to check out that Ilya Dragunov interview. And then please do not forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I check every day, guys. Every day I log in, I already have it saved on my tab and I go, okay, let's see who left a review today. So make sure you guys leave a review or else I just look like a goof going on and there's no new reviews. All right, guys, thank you so much, and I will see you guys back here on Sunday. Have an awesome week, and also a reminder that I will be on tomorrow on Busted Open on Sirius XM. Thank you, guys. Bye, everyone.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture, and the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.